You're listening to the audio production of Becoming Elizabeth Elliot by Ellen Vaughn, published by B&H Publishing Group and read by Connie Shabshab. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so had they done it. Exodus 39:43, ESV. In honor of Minkaye, whose memory makes me smile, whose life represents the reality of Christ's transforming power, and the hope that God's love and forgiveness will flow to every unreached people group on the planet. Soli Deo Gloria. Forward. I was lying in a hotel bed late at night, paralyzed with crumpled sheets half covering my useless limbs. It felt strange to welcome my heroine of faith into the room. As she approached my bed, her Bible pressed to her chest, Elizabeth Elliot's commanding demeanor softened with her smile. I was 26 years old and seasoned by a decade of quadriplegia, but still, I was awestruck. We were both speaking at the same conference, and after my talk, Elizabeth had asked to meet with me. She wanted to hear more. She had said, "Is it all that extraordinary for others to see the stamp of Christ on your life? If we feel it is, what shall we then say of the state of Christendom?" "I'm not all that extraordinary," I thought, as Elizabeth smoothed her skirt and sat on the bed opposite me. But her comment did cut to the heart of things, and that's what I admired about her. I loved her matter-of-fact way of living by daily dying for Christ. It was a no-nonsense way of looking at things. Just pull yourself up by the grace of God, hoist your cross on your shoulder, and follow your Savior down the blood-stained path to Calvary, and don't complain about it. I was first introduced to Elizabeth Elliot in 1965, when, in high school, I read her book, Through Gates of Splendor. I was mesmerized by the haunting photo of the 29-year-old jungle missionary holding her baby and staring out a window through a cloud of grief. Her husband of less than 3 years had just been savagely speared to death by the very Stone Age people he had tried to reach for Christ. What drove her to remain on the mission field and then to bring the gospel to the very people who had murdered Jim and his colleagues? Was Jesus worth it? I had a chance to ask myself the same question right after high school graduation, when a broken neck landed me in those dark valleys Elizabeth wrote about. Sitting in my wheelchair and turning pages with the eraser tip end of a pencil, I worked my way through her second book, Shadow of the Almighty. In this woman, I knew I'd get the unvarnished truth about God and suffering. I wanted to know if Jesus was worth it. True to form, her writings did not skate the surface. I discovered that she unflinchingly believed her Savior to be ecstasy beyond compare. And after reading more of her books, I heard the Spirit of Jesus whisper in my heart, "Be like her." So now, to have a private audience with my role model was an incredible treasure. In that hotel room, we talked of many things, but landed on the shared satisfaction that neither of us felt all that extraordinary. We were simply followers of Christ who had plumbed the depths of his joy by tasting his afflictions. Those afflictions had cut deep gashes in our hearts through which grace and joy had poured in, stretching and filling our souls with an abundance of our Lord. That night, we relished the loveliness of Jesus, convinced that he was more than worth it. The hour drew late. Elizabeth was to speak at the conference the next morning, so she stood and gathered her things. But before she left, she turned and said with her chin high, "Suffering is never for nothing, Johnny."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?